Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Airball. We are a basketball talk show, and normally it's just four or five college students. But today's a special day because my grandfather, Ted Margolis, is on the show with us. Pops, you want to say hello?
Hello, everybody. I don't know why I'm here, but it's my grandson. What am I going to do?
Yeah, it's a very special moment for all of us.
Yeah. So today we'll be talking about the Knicks, probably a lot, which is important. I think it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Owen, do you have a mic? Yeah, you guys can put that in the...
Sharing a mic.
Yeah.
Here too. We're all here except Luca. He's on his way.
Well, to start things off today, we talk about Karl Anthony Towns getting traded to the Knicks. Xander, do you have any opinions on this? What was your first reaction to this?
I'm excited. My first opinion, my first reaction to this trade.
Well, where were you when you found out?
I can't tell you that. I think we might have been around the dinner table, and I got up and I slammed my plate on the ground and just shattered it in shock. But at first, I was excited because I was like, I was not a big fan of Julius Randle because I think he's out of control. He's like, he also can't play like as the second option on a team because he wants the ball every play and he wants to take a shot. Karl Anthony Towns can do that, and he's a good shooter. He's the corniest man alive. That's why I don't like him. I didn't like him when he was on the Timberwolves, and I haven't liked him since he got in the league, but people can change, and I can change too, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of the idea of a player not being able to fit in with a certain culture. I think generally if a player is coachable, which if you're an NBA player, you probably are, you can fit in wherever you're placed. Question is just, will the fans like you? And how will that affect your psychology as a player, especially if you're a shooter? Like if the Knicks fans start bullying Karl Anthony Towns and he becomes reviled, is that going to affect him?
I was going to say, what will the Knicks not like about Karl Anthony Towns specifically? Knicks fans.
I think they just have preconceptions of him.
Yeah.
Being corny.
Yeah.
As Xander just said.
I agree.
I think they're just going to adopt him as one of the guys. I think he'll be one of the guys. But they're missing now some players that were very pivotal in their performance. But I don't know. I think people will love him.
Is he less dog than any other member of the Knicks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
How much dog even is he?
Yeah. Something else.
Not as much.
The Knicks fans will love him if he scores 30 points a game, gets 25 rebounds, and claims that he was just doing his job.
Yeah. If he does anything short of that, we're going to riot in the streets. We're going to tip Madison Square Garden over, and we're going to become from Cat's Head.
I mean, you're talking about a town where Aaron Judge got booed because he struck out five times once.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's the pinnacle of performance, and New York sports fans were still turning on it.
Yeah, but Jalen Brunson won't be getting booed anytime soon. I don't think he'll ever be. No one will ever call him names in the streets of New York City.
I think I saw something. He can't do anything wrong. I think he can do no wrong. I think somebody reported that. He can do no wrong. It's just a fact of sports and of science, and that's just what I'm going to adhere to.
He's just like
the rest
above the law in New York City.
Yeah.
Except the weakness in this whole thing is they have factored the whole team around Brunson.
Yeah.
So he trips in the locker room and bangs his knee and he's out for 6 months.
You gotta knock on wood.
You're right, though. We would be screwed if that happened.
Absolutely.
But a lot of NBA teams, most NBA teams in history, if their best player tears their ACL, that's it for you.
Right.
The Knicks, though, we rely on Brunson a lot. Like, I don't know what would happen if he was... Like, if he can't come back from an injury, then it's not going to win again. But
he's a historically pretty durable player.
Yeah.
He hasn't had any season-ending injuries.
He's, he's compact. He's small and compact.
Yeah.
It's, like, hard to knock him off his spot because he's just, like, He's all compact into that little spot.
Big head, center of gravity.
Hey, he's like a battering ram.
Yeah, see, I'm an old guy, and I remember watching the old Knicks, Willis Reed at center, Bill Bradley, Dave DeBuscher at forward, Clyde bringing the ball up, and then you had either Dick Barnett or Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Yeah.
Now, if one of those guys went down, guess what? They had another guy.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
If Clyde went down, Willis Reed would be the guy.
But Earl Monroe was great.
Yeah, I mean, if you're stuck, depending on Earl Monroe, you're doing all right.
Yeah, that would be fine. I guess teams aren't made like that anymore.
No.
Yeah,
it's true. No.
And the teams don't play team ball.
Yeah, no. Well, definitely not like they did in the 70s.
Right.
No. I think team ball has changed what that means because players are so good at scoring on it. You can't really guard. It's so hard to guard a player one-on-one in basketball now, given how good they are. And so your best option is having your best player go at whoever's guarding him if it's one-on-one. So that it's not really in their best interest anymore to pass the ball around and look for an open, like, short corner, like, 8-footer layup, whatever. It would take too long, too much time off the clock.
Yeah, but the whole game is constructed differently, you know. When they had the championship against an inferior L.A. Lakers team, Willis Reed got injured. So Willis comes out in that famous moment, and he scores two baskets, and then he can't walk. He just literally couldn't move. So what happens? Frazier ups his game and scores, I think it was 27 points, and the Knicks win.
Yeah, like 18 assists or something.
Yeah.
Legendary.
So it's a different game, and everybody on the team played, you know, in a way that helped replace Willis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can do that today.
You're right about that. I think that if you're the head of the snake gets chopped off, I think you're kind of screwed now.
Speaking
Unless
of that,
you're the Celtics.
Yeah. Because that head of the snake is like the butt of the snake, too. That's like if Julius Randle, like if we lose Julius Randle, that's like kind of a blessing in disguise.
So if
in any given game.
If, like, hypothetically, in the worst case scenario, that Jalen Brunson does go down, is it Cameron Payne?
I'm coming for you. Now.
Is it Cameron Payne or
Deuce is going to step. Tyler Kolek? He's actually good.
I was trying to think of who they picked up over the summer. It was Cameron Payne.
Cameron Payne as your first option is a horrible.
He would not
horrible.
Be the
like
he
imagine
would not be
that
the first option. If Brunson goes down, we just get rid of the whole rest of the team and build around Cam Payne, who's like 32 or something. I don't think that
long head, diagonal jump long shot. Head, yeah.
Diagonal jump shot, yeah. Diagonal hairline.
You're talking about the catch trade, so generally that trade, the Knicks have the second best starting lineup in the league, in my opinion.
After the Celtics.
After the Celtics.
I'm trying to think who the other ones are.
The Sixers.
So what's happened to the Knicks that they've actually done something intelligent?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what's changed. Maybe James Dolan has like stepped away from basketball operations more than he used to.
This guy never stepped away from anything. Yeah. That's the problem.
I think he also, people would like not come to the Knicks. I mean, how do we know this for sure, I guess, but people used to tell me, like my dad and other Knicks fans used to tell me that people wouldn't come to the Knicks because they didn't want to be involved with James Dolan. So just his presence is enough to keep people away. That's what, at least according to my dad.
That's aura.
I think he's right.
Negatively.
Yeah.
I don't think the Sixers have a better
inverse aura.
Not better, but it's has more star power for sure. They got the serious big three, Philadelphia. And I'm honestly high on them.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on them, too. I think they're going to be good.
Again, a question of Embiid's health.
Yeah.
Embiid as it is every year. Because he can be an MVP for the whole season, and the second he's in a knee brace.
Yeah, but to me it's a question of their health, not their roster construction. Like, a fully healthy Sixers team could very easily beat the Knicks.
I have a question for y'all.
Scary.
What are we getting first? Joel Embiid conference finals appearance or Angel Reese chip?
I don't. It's harder for me to
speak on the WNBA.
Well, because I don't know. I mean, I know what I think of Angel Reese as a player, but I don't know about her team as well.
Is that positive?
Yeah. I feel like they're building nicely.
Well, I mean,
yeah, fair.
Then we'll see. What do you think?
I'm indifferent on her game. I can't say that I've seen enough of it. But, I mean, I know that she did have an impressive rookie year, but...
Impressive.
She did.
Yeah.
Win Rookie of the Year, notably.
No, she didn't. But, of course, I have seen the memes of her stat padding, is what they say. And
they always say.
Yeah.
That's a good segue to Caitlin.
What? Which part?
She took the MVP, right?
Took rookie of the
year.
Angel Wilson's going to be MVP once again.
The WNBA needs stars. That's where the dollars are.
I think they're getting. I mean, we've talked about this before on here. I think Caitlin Clark is like. I mean, I don't know about their Michael Jordan. That might be, but like, is the player that comes in and brings, like, is going to skyrocket viewership. It's already happened. I mean, people watch the WNBA.
Especially when you market the rivalry of Angel Reese and Caitlin Parker.
It's like magic.
I mean, who knows how much that rivalry actually exists between the two of them, but they're marketing it like it's...
Yeah, it feels kind of one-sided.
Yeah, it does. But
but it did end... It's sort of... Whether or not they acknowledge it, it does happen in that they were like the top two.
Yeah.
Rookie of the Year voting.
Caitlin Clark got...
Almost unanimous.
She averaged more in every stat area than anybody else. She had more rebounds than Angel Reese.
Yeah. Caitlin Clark. Really?
She really?
Yeah.
I thought she...
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, leading rookies in points, assists, rebounds, steals, and minutes.
That's ridiculous.
She set a WNBA single season record with 337 assists in the season. So first season. She's...
Oh, my God.
Which is insane.
Wait, I thought Angel Reese averaged 13 rebounds a game.
Maybe Caitlin Clark had more total rebounds on the season than Angel Reese.
Yeah, played more games or something.
Never mind. Yeah, I'm wrong.
Still, point stands.
It's unfortunate that her team is defensively abhorrent. They're really bad on defense.
Caitlin?
Yeah, no. I mean, she's a fine defender.
Team was bad. They lost like their first.
I mean, there was a shift in the middle of the season where she started like they became an offensive powerhouse behind her, but the fact that they couldn't defend for the life of them. They got swept.
She dragged them to the playoffs, though. Like,
yeah,
that's as a rookie. That's impact.
That's crazy.
Impact. That's crazy.
She lost to the Connecticut Sun.
They did. They lost. That's crazy. No other rookie had a triple double in the WNBA that's before her.
Damn.
I'm surprised Sabrina didn't have one.
Yeah, she's tough. Maybe Diana. No, Diana's still kicking.
Well, since I don't believe that they play defense in professional basketball.
Oh, wow.
I don't think there's much that's been lost.
Wow.
You want to get into the defense discussion?
That's kind of what the league is now. It's very offensive.
I think it's just too hard to play. I don't think that they don't play defense. I think that it's just too hard to play the effective defense that people used to play.
Offense got too good?
Yeah, well, not even offense, like the offense's schemes. Just players themselves got so good. Yeah. Maybe defense at 3 seconds, if they get rid of that, that'll change something. But, like, you can't stay in front of somebody way that you used to be able to do.
Wait a minute. Jerry West bringing the ball down court against Clyde Frazier, and Frazier doing a tonsillectomy on him. And Jerry West maybe still scoring, but not as much as he would. And that's because they play defense. Here, somebody comes down court, and they make like a little passageway for him, and they throw rose petals down, and the guy misses the layup.
There's definitely some of that. Like, I think in the 70s, you couldn't get away with being a top star and being as lazy on defense as James Harden or Luka Doncic. But there's like, I mean... Like, Anthony Edwards plays defense.
I was thinking about the Timberwolves in that. When we were talking about team defense, the Timberwolves might be the anomaly in that. Celtics as well.
But there's a few teams that play defense.
But, like, super tenacious, full team defense that just, like, looks like it's suffocating the offense where you can't get anything going.
Yeah, but the Timberwolves did that against the Nuggets. Up for a full game, even in the 70s, you can't keep that up for a full game.
Yeah,
that's like that. That's like the highlights of defensive highlights for a particular game are, or like one player on one player, Walt Frazier on Jerry West, he can shut him down in a particular game. But like to play like smothering team defense, that's really difficult.
Yeah. We need to get some film of the Knicks playing the Lakers.
Should we see if we can pull it up?
Yeah.
Because if you watch the whole game, you will see that some of the greatest moments in those games were defensive.
Wow. There's a full game. There's full game footage for 1970 New York Knicks versus Los Angeles Lakers NBA Finals. Oh,
wow. Okay, that's your homework,
yeah, that's
guys.
The homework.
Study the defense. Learn how to play it.
Yeah. We'll come back in next time and we'll just narrate it. We're gonna like all play defense. We're gonna do like a shell drill and just narrate it.
Speaking of defense, I was watching the Lakers preseason the other night.
No, keep going. I have some of our defense later.
Okay. Bronny James, I hate to say this, he's a fish out of water in the NBA.
Yeah.
I was holding back on that opinion, but after just like watching some of his turnovers and like he's just smaller than them. He just looks like a child, hate to say that because he is the child of the greatest player of all time. But he's just like a little runt out there.
Did you see
what does he do?
The chase down block the day. I mean, imagine.
Yeah, but did you see what preceded that?
Did you see what caused the chase down block?
He comes down. He gets the ball like from somebody on the wing, maybe from D'Lo.
Throws a lazy
and
pass.
He throws it right back to him, but he telegraphs it so hard that like the ball's barely coming. It's like basically coming out of his hands by the time he throws it, and then the guy easily steals it and runs back.
And of course,
back.
Like the media chases
him down,
chase down block.
And then the guy catches it and glazes it
like,
up.
Of
right
course,
after
of course, the media takes it and spins it to Bronny tried to chase down block.
They clipped it like really, like really deliberately.
Chase down block, but it was still points off of his turnover. Like,
yeah. Chase down block that ended up with like a layup. And so not really a chase down block either. Blocks.
It looks like JJ when he's answering questions about Bronny has like a gun to his head, like he can't say anything.
Bronny deserves this. He's earned this. I just want to lay that out there.
Yeah.
I also think it's funny. I feel like we talked about this the other day, but that LeBron, like in interviews, will be like, when he's asked about Bronny at home, he's like, yeah, he's just playing the game, and then comes down for dinner and goes right back up to the game, like as if he's just talking about his son, like at home. And then, but that's his teammate. And if I'm like another guy on the Lakers, I'm thinking like, how can I take Bronny seriously if like his dad is on my team and he's talking about him like that?
Yeah. What do you think they think of him? I feel like
they see him as like a kid, a brat.
But he's kind of annoying because he's bad. And it's like, why is he even here? Why does he even get to be on the team we're on?
Don't go into your father's business.
Yeah.
Particularly if he's very successful.
Yeah. If your father's like the best carpenter in the world, don't go into carpentry.
Yeah, this kid's crazy. He doesn't even know how to use a hammer.
Wait, they're still living together, though.
I know, that's what's crazy to me. That's like a reality show.
He said they're going to be going to the game separately, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They're not carpooling. Why? Like,
what's the point?
Yeah,
it's like a symbolic thing. Like,
yeah, the kid walks.
So. Yeah.
If he plays bad, he walks back to their humongous mansion in Los Angeles.
Nice play here. He blocks Rob Dillingham.
Shiftily? Rob Dillingham looks really good.
Did he
too,
block him shiftily or what?
Pretty to be honest.
Rob Dillingham looks like they didn't need to trade for Dante.
And then gets the assist.
Little assist. That was a good play.
I think we're getting the start of evil Dante. He's in beyond one this.
But the
season.
He looks kind of Amish.
The T-Wolves went
about
from
that?
Having nobody.
He looks Amish.
He does. Dante DiVincenzo grew out like his beard. Yeah. It looks kind of honest.
But the T-Wolves went from, like, being weak in the guard spot to now having, like, four.
No, they look good.
Conley, Ant, Dante,
so
and
good.
Dillingham.
They have Ingles, too.
And Joe Ingles?
Yeah. Does he play
He's
guard,
not
going to
get playoff minutes.
He can barely
but
walk.
But still, like, did they need to grab Dante? Like,
I feel like Joe Ingles runs like he's, like, running backwards and they reversed it.
Dante is the guy they're going to have at the two or three on the bench before Dillingham develops.
Yeah.
And then once Dillingham's good, they're not paying him. That's just not going to happen.
No.
Because they have him on his rookie deal, and they're similar players.
I thought he was going to start. Oh, no, he can't start. Dante.
No, it's going to be Conley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of these reports are hilarious. Dante DiVincenzo seemed visibly upset during tonight's game after being traded. He hasn't shaved since being traded. He looks unhappy. It's actually hilarious.
He looks Amish. New York Times reports he looks Amish.
So the longer the beard, the deeper your unhappiness. So then what is Harden? Harden's beard needs to be trimmed.
Yeah.
Maybe he should
trimmed? Harden's beard needs to be cut smooth off.
Yeah, that'd be...
I know it's his, like, defining thing. Like, he's the beard.
Are we saying there's, like, a connection between beard length and depression?
I think there is. I think this has been an interesting study.
Is it a foul if you grab a guy's beard?
Yeah.
I don't definitely know. It's not in... It might not be in the rules.
Dehumanizing.
I think when they made the rules for the NBA, they didn't think there would be a guy with, like, a comically large Smurf beard that they could just pull on to, like, impede him.
It's like if you were to, like, what was that guy's name? Elfrid Payton. You're just like flicking Alfred Payton's hair when he goes up for a layup. Yeah. Like, is that a foul?
And also, his hair was like so firm. It was like too, a hat. If you just, you just, but it like was attached to his head. Like you could just knock him over.
It's like the hat, you know, in the Sandlot, like the kid who has a really long hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. That's what it looked like.
Yeah. But then he cut it off.
Yeah.
You think if Harden shaved, he'd even recognize himself in the mirror? I feel like if he shaved...
That would make him more depressed.
He would have, like, this whole, like, I don't even know who I am anymore and just forget how to play basketball. That's what I think.
That's a good point.
Well, no wonder he keeps the beard, then.
Yeah, because if he got rid of it... I was thinking about it because this is like, he's got to have, like, a great year this year.
Hey, that's like the Samson and Delilah. You know, if you shave his beard, he loses his power.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I think that's probably true, that's what would happen. He's so used to it.
Maybe there's something with like his shiftiness that's tied to his beard.
He's used to the
beard.
Weight of a beard.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Harden? Like, is he good?
He's good.
He's good. Yeah. He also slimmed down a little
better
bit
than last year.
What is he?
Well, we don't know.
I still miss.
You kind of see it though.
I still miss like that, just like pure scorer Harden. Even though it was so painful to watch, like.
But it might be back. Like
he's a good.
He doesn't have to feed Embiid or. He doesn't have another all-NBA player on the wing who wants touches.
His career is fascinating. No, like,
he's ripping galaxy gas with Travis Scott. I think that's where he's at.
But he does have quite an interesting career. Like, he went from being arguably the best scorer in the last 20 years, arguably, just prolific, to ending up being just the creator, purely a creator. Like,
went from sixth man...
Yeah,
to MVP,
well, six man, yeah.
To creator.
Yeah. He went right to it. If you look at, I saw today a clip, his first game on the Rockets, he had like 30 points and 8 assists or something. In his second game, he had 45 points, 12 assists.
Didn't take him like, any time.
Yeah,
I just think maybe his creator part was a bit underrated while he was at the Rockets because people just focused on the foul. Creating for himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
people focus on the foul baiting.
For those types of like heliocentric players, you have to be an elite creator, because if you draw help, which you're going to instantly, that's like the biggest attribute. That's why Luka's so good. Hit contested step back threes and then just.
That's
hit
why
the
Luka's
open
so good.
Yeah,
that's what he does.
That's what Luka does.
Yeah, Luka.
Appreciate that. I've been in the lab.
Yeah.
So we could do at the end of the year.
That's such an unconvincing.
I've been in the lab.
Been in the lab, dude. I was driving my last pick. No, I'm gonna stop. How are we feeling about the Clippers this season? Y'all lose Paul George.
Lindy Waters the III has something to say.
Yeah.
I think Kai Jones is in for a breakout season.
I was about
season.
To say, lose Paul George.
I like Kai.
Kevin
Kai
Porter
Jones.
Jr., Kai Jones, Batum. Cam Christie.
Yeah.
Batum. We got Batum back.
Fourth quarter yelling.
Yeah. Why is he in?
Mo Bamba as well. Also song-based.
Terrence Mann recently signed an extension.
Terrence Mann's a heart and soul. Mm-hmm.
Amir Coffee Beans.
Terrence Mann is like the Josh Hart of the Clippers.
That's a good comparison.
So you guys all love basketball.
We do.
Are you concerned about the presence of gambling now as part of the whole consortium?
Can't talk about gambling. This is a big one. We can't really
talk about
it.
Yeah, the FCC
can't talk about gambling.
All right.
We can't promote it.
No, quite the contrary. Are you concerned about it?
Deeply. We hate gambling on the show. We don't do it. I don't do it personally.
I don't do it either.
No.
It is interesting.
He doesn't do it at all.
No.
And
it isn't, but I don't know if you guys saw the clip the other day of the Cowboys game where, was it Aubrey missed like his first field goal and like
Aubrey Graham?
No, yes. Brandon Aubrey.
Brandon Aubrey. I think it was Brandon Aubrey, but he missed a field goal that was like the line was like 5.5 and there was maybe 10 seconds left and it would have just sealed the game, I think, for the Cowboys. But he misses the field goal and you see him like him smiling, you see Dak just like smiling a little bit. Like
really?
Oh,
I think
especially
I think
after
Cowboys.
Shohei. After you saw Shohei Ohtani, that stuff with him and his what was it? Like
his translator.
Yeah. Translator.
Yeah.
And it, how they had like millions of dollars worth of
yeah, it was like 11 million maybe yeah.
But you see, even if nobody's cheating or doing anything terrible, you guys are talking about it already as a possibility, and that can destroy the integrity of the game.
I think what's scary about it is it's so easy to bet. Like we wouldn't know if everyone in the NBA was betting on their own games. It's so easy to do it and to not be detected.
And Jonte Porter getting exposed for it.
Yeah.
Like that's the lowest.
He must have done it so poorly.
Blatantly, and he was also a garbage player, so they could dispose him and scapegoat him. Yeah. But when it's like a when it's an influential player, like they're say like I don't know, say not Kai Jones, say like Harden is gambling, like they're not going to expose him for that.
Imagine Kawhi.
It would Kawhi is the biggest
gambling running a monopoly.
That right? Who's the NBA player most likely to be gambling?
Ooh, good question.
Most likely.
Pete Rose.
Pete Rose.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, may you rest in peace.
Yeah.
Probably.
I didn't actually. This is
Michael Porter Jr.
The day,
Jimmy Butler.
That day of Dikembe Mutombo. The day of Dikembe and Pete Rose. I didn't hear about Pete Rose pressingly for like 2 days. Like he's just been completely phased out of sports.
Yeah. It's sad.
It's sad.
Yeah. Well, Major League Baseball threw him out for gambling.
Yeah.
And now they've done deals with gambling to promote gambling.
Exactly.
I mean, you know.
It's sad.
Yeah. No, it's supposed to be basketball.
But definitely take a turn for the worst.
What'd you say?
Gambling. Like sports reporting.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's so odds focused.
Yeah.
Just takes away from the beauty of like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like game. You turn on ESPN, they're talking about the odds. And
you can't find a sports article that doesn't mention odds, either at the top of it or at the bottom of it. Like
I don't even really know what to make. I don't gamble at all and like have no idea how to do it. So like I'll like see the odds and I'll be like, wow, that's
$500. No way.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But I have no idea what it means.
Plus 500 and just go straight to my bank account.
I get $500 if I bet on that.
I didn't even realize. How did I not know Pete Rose died?
See, you know what I'm saying? He's just been pushed out of the media. Like,
that's insane. Like, I get gambling is bad, but like he's the all-time hits leader, and like one of the greatest players.
Barry
like,
Bonds is arguably the greatest player of all time, and he.
But this isn't steroids. Like, this is like an integrity.
But that's my point. Is like steroids. The things that Barry Bonds was doing.
Best.
We're not a result of steroids.
Steroids don't make you
player.
Don't make you get on base
make contact
and hit like that.
With the ball every time that it comes over.
There's this is like a great. I mean, there's Twitter threads anything about this of just people who just scroll through baseball reference looking at Barry Bonds' page, but there are some absurd stats.
Yeah.
Of Barry Bonds.
He's
like
insane.
More I forget what it was, more extra base hits than maybe walks in a seat or more walks and extra base hits, and they were both at like 2. I mean, he was above any other team.
He's crazy. But the other thing is that everyone else, not everyone else, but I mean, it's kind of the question of gambling. It's similar in that, like, there could be so many people gambling right now that just haven't been caught.
Yeah.
There's only a few that have been caught. Barry Bonds got caught. I mean, I'm sure so many of those guys at that time were on steroids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not that many were caught.
I mean, Pops, I got a question for you. In the 80s and early 90s, before a lot of the stuff about gambling came out, did everyone deep down know it was happening? Like, was there were people being suspected of it already?
In what way? The players?
Yeah, the players.
Well, you know, in baseball, of course, you had back in the 19s, you had the Black Sox scandal.
Yeah.
So that really hurt baseball for a very long time. But because a lot of sports people, a lot of, quote, sports fans would pick up the daily news and read it. And why? Because they would give the odds. Mm. You know, so, I actually got involved in some aspects of gambling because I was with the federal government for a period of time. And in New Jersey back in the 80s, we figured that gambling was bringing in somewhere north of $1 billion in the state of New Jersey. And we recommended that they legitimize gambling as a state, function, because we then figured that if you lived in New Jersey, you wouldn't have to pay taxes, and they would pay each person, I think it was like $10,000 a year. I mean, it was huge. It was huge. The thing we told them not to do was to build a casino and put it in one town. And so I feel like I was the father of Atlantic City, because that's what they did immediately. But, yeah, gambling has been huge. So one of the things that you learn is that, you know, the mobs would run gambling so that they could support all of their other functions. That's how big it was. So we're talking billions and billions of dollars. And that's been going on for a long time. What hasn't happened is that the institutions, baseball, basketball, football, that you would bet on, they were trying to keep as clean as they could. So they didn't tolerate gambling. They had investigators watching referees and all kinds of things. Now the difference is, all of these institutions have now signed deals with gambling groups to take a piece of the action. I don't know where it's going.
I have a feeling that we're in for a decade of scandals at some point or another. Maybe, probably sooner rather than later. And the sad thing is that once that happens, the integrity of like all sports is just going to be out the window. And that's it's hard to repair something so damaging to your sports reputation. You can see it with drug usage as well. Like, cycling hasn't recovered from all of the doping that happened. Because anytime anyone is good, there's like, oh.
Yeah.
They're cheating.
I think
the same thing with sports results. Like, considering gambling.
I mean, same with the, like, ever since the Astros had their thing, like, it's just that whenever some team gets good, it starts to dominate, then it goes the other way. Like,
yeah, I hate the Astros now.
I think you have less problems probably with the players today, because they're making such astronomical amounts of money.
Yeah.
Although Michael Jordan, famous, had a gambling problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would say he had a competition problem, but that might have been a complete lie.
But the place you want to worry is in the officials.
Yeah.
Because they can change a game, and particularly in professional basketball. I mean, you can call a foul, you know, as the guy's walking off of the bench.
Yeah. I know. Tim Duncan got a technical foul called on him because he smiled and looked at a ref from the bench. He had a towel over his lap, and he got a technical foul called on him.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about it in baseball, too, though. I mean, I know we're supposed to
talk about anything, man.
Basketball, but in baseball, like Angel Hernandez, who's finally got fired, was like, I mean, if you look, it's actually hilarious. Like, if you want to laugh at something, watch a compilation of Angel Hernandez missed calls. And he'll call a strike on a ball thrown so far out of the zone that, like, somebody who's never watched baseball in their lives could figure that out.
Consistently a pretty crappy umpire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing, it's not a one-off thing. It's happening, like, all the time. And everyone knows, oh, Angel.
If Angel's behind home plate, you were in for just a nightmare of a game as a pitcher.
Which is,
and it's a batter.
It seems like he's something else has to be going on there. He can't just be that bad at seeing.
And the league kept him around, knowing that was Angel Hernandez.
Yeah, although now he's finally gone.
Yeah,
it feels similar with Scott Foster, in the NBA. Yeah.
But Scott Foster, it's like less blatant than this.
It's
this
less
like,
blatant, but he Scott's was involved with Tim Donaghy back in the day. And to me, the fact they didn't fire him then.
Involved in what way?
Tim Donaghy was
like a piece of gambling rings, and he influenced results, and he got exposed for it.
What was that Netflix doc? Or was it 30 for 30?
Refs.
Good.
Gambling.
Good Netflix story.
I don't know. That I just remember that documentary made me feel quite sorry for Tim Donaghy.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I don't know, he was just...
Well, yeah, that's what a lot of the sports...
His wife left him.
The sports docs pick their side, and they want you to, you know, feel something for the guy who's been wronged in some cases.
Because, he agrees to the documentary knowing that it'll paint him in a certain light.
Yeah.
Whether that's being people pitying him.
Yeah.
He wants people's pity. He thrives off of it.
Listen, I spent a little bit of time around athletes as a lawyer. And their lives are not quite as glamorous as it's made out to be. Think about this. You and it's worse now that the colleges are paying them money. These kids, a lot of them come from very poor backgrounds. And all of a sudden somebody's saying, we can sign you for $6 million. And they get $6 million. And all of a sudden they have 3,000 cousins, you know, who all want a piece of the action. And they start throwing the money around, and it's amazing how fast that money goes away. And they buy the big car, and they get an apartment or whatever they do. Now, that's not to say all of them. There are a lot of guys who are very smart and who do the right thing, and, you know. But so many of these kids, we would get some very famous players in professional sports who were at the end of their career, and they had gotten into things called tax shelters where you can lose money, but they were bad tax things, and they, by the end of their career, these guys owed millions of dollars in taxes, and they were at the end of the career, and they weren't going to make big money. And they had no other way to make money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had a guy who owed the government $4 million, and he was in the last year of his career, and he was making $700,000.
Oh, that's not good.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. And he was famous.
I mean, didn't Allen Iverson lose almost all his money? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like hundreds of millions in the world.
That's so much money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was like pretty recent, so he was making it to. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do the.
All right.
We're talking about player mental health, I guess, so let's take a
one. We've got an obligatory PSA brought to you. Luke, you want to. Pops, you want to read the PSA?
The first one.
Where is it? Here.
We got a PSA from Pops.
First paragraph.
Ask yourself, what kind of friend are you? Are you a work friend? Are you a friend that hangs out on weekends? Are you a chill out and watch TV friend? Are you that friend who shows up on moving day? Or are you the kind of friend who's there for someone dealing with a mental illness? Be there for them because your support will give them a much greater chance of recovery. Mental illness, what a difference a friend makes. For more information on how to support someone dealing with a mental illness, go to whatsadifference.org. Brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Thank you, Pops.
And you're listening to the...
Oh, and you're listening to 90... This is Airball, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
This is an excellent PSA.
That was beautiful. I almost started tearing up.
How do you think? What do you think Mikal Bridges did to check on Dante DiVincenzo after he got traded?
That's a good segue.
Check in on tears. There's definitely some.
Who are the best? That's actually a good.
Was
question.
Dante that bummed?
Who are the best? Sure. Aren't Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo that, or maybe it's Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson? Who's the tightest?
Who's the tightest?
Or I feel like Dante was like fine with leaving. Like,
well, that's what they said.
Yeah.
There's no way.
There's no way
but,
he's not.
But why would he come off his career high year and want to settle for less minutes?
I don't know. I don't think he did want to leave. I can choose to believe that he did.
Sure.
Yeah.
He wanted to start.
Yeah, but he wouldn't start in Minnesota. He'd start.
He could, though.
He'd play more in New York, I think, than he'd play in Minnesota.
The experience of being part of that team, I'm sure he wanted to be a part of it. Like, all of his friends on the team. Also, the Knicks are good, and you're in New York for the first time, and there's, and the city is like rallying behind you, and you're beloved.
And
like, that's
just
an incredible
hit a game
experience.
Winner in the playoffs. Like, we loved him.
I watched that video probably 347 times or something. That video's, and iHeart is gone too. Yeah, like, both of the members of that
iHeart Radio
video.
Oh yeah, iHeart Radio doesn't scan. I guess that's just LA.
It's also San Francisco.
Oh, is that everywhere?
It's national. I think it's national. Yeah.
Okay, it scans. That works. Yeah. Good reference.
How do we feel about losing Daquan Jeffries in the trade? Well, I'm kind of devastated about that one.
I feel like just because you wanted a guy named Daquan on the Knicks?
Do you guys watch the international teams?
I watched the Olympics this year.
I watched the Olympics, but the Olympics. If that counts, then yeah. If it doesn't count, then no.
No. You'll see highlights every now and then of some, like, 35-year-old Italian dude who looks like he could cook the whole NBA, though.
I wonder if there will come a time where people won't want to go to the NBA and they'll stay on their international teams and people will start watching international basketball.
Never,
too.
Because the money in the NBA is just
different. I know. That's I can't see a situation where that happens. But who knows?
There's probably guys who will make that. I mean, this is why people go abroad. They go abroad because they can make more money playing the Turkish league than they can in the G League.
Though. Yeah. But still, nobody
watches.
They'd
rather be a star in Europe than a nobody in Santa Cruz. Like.
I would love to see more NBA EuroLeague play. I think that would be good for the sport of basketball.
It's like when Wemby came around and played against an NBA team while he was in France.
It was
like,
cool.
That was huge.
Yeah. Or he played against Ignite. To be fair, but I just like the clash of styles because the way the NBA rules are set up are meant to generate a certain brand of basketball, and in the EuroLeague it's just completely different. And I feel like regardless of which rules they play on, the players are just set up so differently, and the teams are set up differently. I think it would be good for the sport. The NBA wouldn't agree to it though, because it would devalue their own prestige if they ever lost to a EuroLeague team.
Yeah, but I mean. They sometimes, like, didn't the Rockets a few years ago get blown out by, like,
Guangdong
in China?
Yeah.
Guangzhou, and then they sent half their team to Guangzhou. And they did, though.
That's hella symbolic with all the Daryl Morey stuff.
Yeah. Can we just, like, acknowledge Eric Paschal's weight gain since going to the Serie A in Italy? Yeah. That was pretty sad to see.
Yeah, what position does he play now? Isn't he, like, 6'7"? He
plays head of the dinner table. It was sad.
But he's a wrestler now, right?
No
weightlifter?
No, he's still a hooper.
Player. Oh, I saw him in like a spandex. I don't know.
I think his jersey was really tight on him. It was a sad one to see because he was a one season wonder with the Warriors, but
yeah,
here we are now.
They were terrible that year.
They were terrible.
What year was that actually?
It was like 2018. COVID. It was COVID.
It was my sophomore or junior year of high school.
Oh, really?
I thought it was earlier COVID. Than that. It was COVID. No, I think it was 1920.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, sad.
Oh, I thought you meant 1920, like the year 1920.
There's some good starting lineup picks there where you've got like Willie Cauley-Stein, Glenn Robinson, Kai Bowman.
Yeah.
Jacob Evans III.
Like, he only averaged 14 points a game that
Eric
season.
Paschal?
Yeah.
That was probably the leading scorer behind...
It definitely was.
Behind Devo. Yeah. Sad. Yeah. That was a depressing year.
It's not as depressing as what he's got going on right now.
It's true. This is true.
I think if those EuroLeague matchups, though, that would be fun. It would be kind of be like the Champions League, but for the NBA. We would get more like... What was that guy's first name? I don't remember, but... Yabusele posters.
Yeah, yeah, Sean,
exactly.
Yabusele.
I'm pouring Grey Poupon on you.
We definitely haven't reached the final evolution of basketball becoming an international sport.
We're waiting on Mexico to get a team, too.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
Canada
needs another. Vancouver.
Yeah. South Sudan.
Is Yabusele in the same bucket as Eric Paschal's?
No.
Kenny Lofton Jr.'s?
No. I think
Yabusele is just a
Eric
tank.
Paschal's eating his way into a different category.
No. Gershon Yabusele is like him, Grant Williams, Eric Paschal. Like, just guys that look like you could not possibly push them over.
Desmond Bain.
Desmond Bain.
Taylor Horton Tucker, bro.
That's the same category.
What do you call those type of players?
Just
like...
Like boulders?
Sturdy?
Sturdy forwards.
Big forwards.
I would call them big forwards.
I just watched the Dante DiVincenzo game winner like 5 times, by the way.
More.
What did you think of it?
It's just that, why did Maxi fall down? I still don't understand why Maxi fell down. It's kind of his fault. He shouldn't have fell. He's soft.
Nobody touched him.
Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Maxi will never exceed the ceiling of Jalen Brunson ever. He's never going to be better than Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, Brunson did score 40 points in like 7 consecutive games or whatever, which is really hard to do. Yeah. Doesn't he have the most consecutive 40-point games? Who has more, just Jordan or something?
Didn't he tie it?
I think he tied Jordan and was about to break the record, and then he had 39 points.
Yeah. That was like the most exciting playoff run.
That was the most proud. It was like, that's watching my son play basketball. That's what it felt like. Except my son is way older. It's like watching my dad play basketball.
Yeah, no, he made history for four consecutive 40-point games in the playoffs.
Fourth player in NBA history with 4 straight, but he did basically have 5 straight because he had 39 in one of those other games.
Who are the players?
What things in life make you feel similar ways than watching Jalen Brunson play basketball?
Like
driving your car on a beach road when there's no landslides.
No landslides?
Yeah. It, when there's no landslides, that's like Jalen Brunson. When there is a landslide, that's like Julius Randle.
Driving a stick shift Saab on the Amalfi Coast.
That's accurate.
It's incredible. I was going to say like smearing some Nutella on a crepe and laying banana slices on there, folding it up, and then just looking at it.
That's good.
That's Jalen to me.
Yeah. Except that's like more like I feel like Jalen Brunson's got a grittier feeling. Like I'm watching him and I'm like I'm not eating a Nutella crepe. Like that's too like soft.
You're eating like something more savory.
Yeah, I'm eating like a chicken parm sandwich.
Jalen Brunson is like a great bowl of Brussels sprouts.
Speaking of Brussels sprouts, Matthew and I last night.
We did a whole meal.
Fantastic meal.
We're gonna do a tasting menu.
Yeah. Brunson theme.
We're going to do a basketball Brunson theme tasting.
Basketball Brussels sprouts?
Yeah, we're going to do basketball Brussels
sprouts. Brunson sprouts?
Brunson sprouts. Wouldn't it be great if every team had to just eat Brussels sprouts before every game?
Yeah, it would be great.
What team looks like they would be the biggest fan of Brussels
the
sprouts?
The Celtics.
Sam Hauser? Sam Hauser's eating. Sam Hauser and Luke Kornet eat 2 bowls of Brussels sprouts uncooked.
Brussels sprouts aura is just so similar.
What team would be the least fan of Brussels sprouts?
The Lakers.
The Lakers?
Yeah, they eat tacos.
Lakers have a
I could see the Hornets just hating Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, they're too young.
They're
picky eaters.
They're
the picky eaters.
The Thunder hate Brussels sprouts.
That's actually like Trey Mann. I mean, no hate to Trey Mann.
He's never had a Brussels sprout.
He doesn't eat vegetables.
What do you think?
Hold on. Can you pause on that? Oh, yeah. Trey Mann does not give vegetables.
Yeah, he doesn't give vegetables.
Is what we've taken from today.
What do you think Kai Jones' favorite food is?
Okay, guys.
I don't know.
Let's watch our answers here, please.
Let me tell you a story. A friend of mine wrote sports for the New York Times, and so he decided, and he loved basketball, and so he decided he was going to go on a trip and try to play, you know, pickup games with some old guys who were retired. So the first place he goes is to Chicago, and he gets Michael.
Oh,
and
that's a bad idea, I feel like.
And they go to the local Y, and a bunch of young guys are playing. And one of the guys evidently had been a decent guard at, I think, Michigan. And he was now, you know, an investment banker, as all guards at Michigan are. Mm-hmm. And so my friend and Michael get out on the court and they play. And this kid is all over Michael. And Michael doesn't score too many games, points. And they lose.
Wow.
Wow.
So my friend says, okay, Mike, let's go back, and because I want to interview. Michael says, no. We're waiting. And he sat there and he waited through another game, and then he came up again against this kid. Michael scored all 10 points, and the kid couldn't even hold on to the ball for a second. My friend said it was like, you know, he wanted to kill him.
Yeah. Wow.
And as he said, you know, for Michael Jordan, competition was the point.
Yeah.
He was not going to get beaten. And if he did, he was going to come back and do a number on them.
Yeah.
So then he moves to Cincinnati, and he gets Oscar Robertson, who is now a vice president at a chemical company.
How old is he?
This is years ago, but, you know, he was in his 50s, wow. Maybe, you know. So they go to the local gym, and they play these young Bucks, you know, who think they're the greatest basketball players, and they beat them.
Wow.
And as they're walking off of the court, and they didn't recognize Oscar, one of the kids says to my friend, he says, you know, that old guy, he's a pretty good basketball player.
That's funny. I wonder, so if he was that good at 50 years old, I'm wondering, like, who the best players after retirement would have been. Because, like, Michael Jordan was still great. I feel like Kobe was probably still great for the years after.
It was said that Wilt could have played in the NBA at 50. Like, he was playing with one on, like,
you there's just so him. Many. I feel like there's so it's so players. Hard to tell what's the truth about Wilt.
It's all legends.
A lot of smoke and mirrors with that guy.
Yeah.
A lot of them of his own making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we?
No.
We've got about 30 seconds.
Yeah. Last minute.
You want to do like a one hoop grid square?
This could be fun because we got a real Knicks fan in the building, so.
What are we then?
Yeah, we're
frauds.
Like,
Pops, which Knicks player that is like the hardest one you could think of, like the most niche Knicks player, has more than 2,500 rebounds on their career?
It doesn't have to be that niche. But
what if I get
the best,
one?
That's
I
like
know
point
one
of the
off
game.
The top. What yeah, about Marvin it. Webster? Does that work?
Marvin
Webster. Yeah. It does work, and it's one of one. Xander. What is
wait, what? You shut the first. Wait, hold on.